Good morning, evening, or afternoon. You're listening to Discussions. I'm your host, Holiday. I have a very special guest with me. Have you ever just walked into the room and been mesmerized by a person, by their aura? You could tell they're destined to do great things. That kind of happened one day out of nowhere. And I was like, she seems like a person who's destined to do great things. And come to find out, she's one of these creative types. So, with no further ado, you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you for the awesome introduction. My name is Alexandria. My name is Alexandria Searles, and my artist name is Moroa Mose.
Great, that's a great name. It's I looked you up a little bit before we start having these conversations, and your art is great. What type of art do you do?
So I actually express in several different art forms. The one that I'm most known for is visual art. So I've done mural work. I do commission work and, you know, original works of art. My mediums are acrylic. Mostly it would be an acrylic paint on canvas. And I also do some, you know, like pencil work and with a Prismacolor type work, but mostly it would be acrylic on canvas. I do spoken word poetry, and I am also a dancer.
Didn't even know you did spoken word. That's what's up. But as I saw, as far as your art goes, I see that you create moods. Like, you did a painting of Martin Luther King, but you did it in front of the Emmanuel Church. And you kind of made an event out of it. So you do dances, and when you do dancing, you actually go into, you did one that was like a movie. My little daughter's like, "Who is that?" And then she started trying to do the dances, and so but you could like create moods out of your art. So can you explain what makes you get into that area of it?
Like I mentioned earlier, these different forms of expression, which are, but I believe expression or art comes from a personal place, or it comes from an emotional place. I'm a very emotional person. It was, you know, kind of disliked about myself because it was always hard for me to hide my emotions. Like if I was angry, you could see it on my face. If I was sad, you could see it on my face. Like everything just popped up on my face. Anyone could tell how I was feeling all the time. And that became something like as I grew into myself and got to know myself better, that was something that I could use in my art, and not to look at it as a weakness, but rather to look at it as a strength, because with my emotional, you know, just candor, I can also empathize very well, or I can transmit a mood, as you said, or an emotion pretty well. And so when it comes to the different pieces that I've done, you talked about the Martin Luther King video that I did.
Right.
I wanted to say something without saying words. And so the choice of the day that I chose to do that was on MLK Day. Right. And the location, Mother Emmanuel. And then the painting that I did, even with the way the videography was done, which was a collaborative effort with Chiquela Ravenel. She did the videography and the editing for that video. Mm-hmm. But all of those things come together to not only show the irony of what has happened there, Mother Emmanuel, if not everybody already knows, but that's where the shooting happened, and 9 people were lost in that shooting, and it was racially charged.
Right.
But just all of those things together says so many different things without me having to say all of those things.
That's right.
And then the thing about art, it being visual, everyone can get their own message out of it. They can get their own meaning, their own perception, or they can all take different things away from it. So the language of art, or this visual art, just the videography and the visual art all together become so many different languages and different, you know, forms of communication between different people and sparks different ideas or feelings. But the overall mood that I don't know, like, I don't know how I do it. I just know what I want people to feel, and I know how to get them to feel that.
And that's a gift. Mm-hmm. Like, when I, first of all, a lot of these tools that you're using, I don't know anything about those. I'm like everybody that listens know I'm more of a rhythmatic artist. I can create vocals and I can create sounds, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I'm very audio tuned, but when it comes to anything visual, I have no talent in that. Like, I sit down and I draw, and you could tell what I'm drawing. It looks nice when I'm done with it, but for me to draw a triangle would take me 20 minutes to draw a triangle. So,
but it's only three lines.
Yeah, it's three lines, but when I do it, it's going to be like 87 lines, and then it's going to be the last three lines is going to connect at the very end. So,
might need to take one of my painting classes.
It's to me, it's very inspiring to see someone that's able to do that. And it's part of an art that I have never been able to do. So everyone knows me. They know it don't stop me from trying. I can't sing worth a lick, but I'll be the first one to stand up and sing a church song in church. So, but it doesn't stop me from trying, but it's just because I own my defaults. So, that's pretty cool. Now, when did you notice that you had a gift such as this? Did you grow up with it and you always knew since you was in diapers, you just take your poop and draw it on the wall? Was it something like that? Or did you catch on with it like when you started gauging your emotions and outputting it in school or something like that?
I would say as far back as I can remember, I've always wanted to be an artist. I always was an artist, I'll say that, because even in elementary school, and I remember one specific story, I hated math. I was always bad at math. Mm-hmm. So, like, instead of actually doing the math work, I would draw, like, little sketches all around the edges of the paper.
Right.
And once I got a test back, and my teacher gave me an extra 5 points because of the sketches I had around the paper. Aww. So, the drawing was always something, you know, drawing, sketching, painting, it was always something that I did. And I'm very thankful that I have very supportive parents. They saw that from a young age, and so anything that they could do to nurture that gift, they did. Put me in classes, set me up for different opportunities, being a part of the Governor School of the Arts for their summer program, being at Rawlings Middle School of the Arts, our different art like summer camps and things like that. So my parents really did a great job of, you know, allowing me to grow in that area and not stifling it. And as I, like, you know, it was always a private thing to me because I used to be really, really shy, very private, did not let people into my personal life, definitely did not post it on social media. But lost my train of thought. Okay, I got it back. So yeah, I used to be very, very shy. And it wasn't until I ran track for 7 years in high school, so by the end of my senior year in high school.
7 years in high school? You was in high school for 7 years?
No, I started running track in middle school.
Clarify that.
No. No, I wasn't in high school for 7 years. Okay. I was there for 4 years. I started running track in the seventh grade. So I hope I got the years right. Hopefully no one counts it. And it's like, no, Alex, you're wrong. You're lying.
It's all good. What's your fastest 40?
My fastest 40. See, we didn't do the 40 in track. Mm. We did the 100 in
I'm thinking football. So
my events was the 400, 4x1, and the 4x4.
Mm-hmm.
So my fastest 400 time was like 59 point something.
59?
Yeah, 59 seconds.
Okay, that's around the track one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just, for the people that don't know track, I was just saying that. Okay, that's
what's up. Okay, yeah. Yep, that's one around the track.
All right, so now you've been doing this since you like you said you used to take the poop out your diaper, draw on the walls, right? So you've been
that's what you said.
I said that. Okay, my bad. so but you did learn art. You honed that skill early in life.
Mm-hmm.
When did you realize that you can do something with it? Like when did?
I'm sorry.
When,
could you repeat that?
I said, when did it pop in your head that you was like, or when did you realize that it was something that you can hone into something bigger than just something that you do as a hobby?
I would say one day I was painting, working on something. It was working on a self-portrait, and I think it was around high school, and I posted my progress, and people were like, I didn't know you painted. You know, this. My parents walked into my bedroom as I was painting, and my dad looked at what I was painting. He was like, Denise, come in here. And he called my mom. My mom looked at it, and they were just kind of like standing in the door, looking at me like, wow. And I'm like, what? What is it, guys? And they're like, my paint looks so good. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm just doing whatever. Like, but, you know, the place that I was in at the time when I painted that, I was actually, I guess, pretty depressed. And so it kind of shone in the painting because the painting looked like me, but it also like you could feel emotion from it. I've had people look at that painting and like start crying, which is baffling to me. But
so you still have
that? Was like one of the first times. Yeah.
Okay.
That was one of the first times that I realized, you know, oh, this could be something more. But, you know, I was really young. I didn't put two and two together. The second time was when I posted my black, The Presence of All Colors painting. And it's, you know, a dark-skinned girl with an afro and there's sunflowers in her hair. But when I posted that on my Instagram, like, my Instagram went crazy. Like, people were sharing it. It ended up on a couple of, like, you know, black art pages on Instagram. Eva Marcel commented on it. It kind of went different places, and I was like, wow, okay. So maybe I could do something with this.
Mm-hmm.
And the third time, and I'm a believer, and this is where I believe God showed me that he could make this my career. He could make this something I could survive off of. And I remember before this happened, my youth leader would always tell me, your gift will make way for you, your gift will make way for you. And I'm like, okay, you're just saying stuff, you know, this is Sunday school and you got to say stuff to me, you're saying stuff. But it was, I would say, probably around like 2016. Yeah, I think it was 2016. And I was scrolling on Instagram and I just happened to come across this flyer for a natural hair expo or a natural expo or something in Charlotte, North Carolina, something along those lines. And they were looking for vendors. And I was like, well, I'll just check it out. So I looked at the flyer. I messaged the guy who was having the event, and I asked him about being a part of it. And I don't recall if he contacted me or I contacted him, but somehow everything just kind of fell into place. Like it like happened like almost like coincidentally. And I was like, okay, so now I'm going to Charlotte. And I talked to my parents about it, and they were like, okay, well, bring someone with you, bring a friend, and you're going to have to rent a car.
Great advice.
And I had no money.
Yeah,
I had no money. I had a credit card. So I was like, well, I guess I'll rent a car with my credit card. And I went up there. So my plan was to stay with one of my friends at Newberry and then the next day drive up to Charlotte because I didn't have any money for a hotel. I packed up my car with all my artwork. Well, not my car, the rental, packed it up, went to Newberry, stayed the night. Next morning, drove up to Charlotte. I had no money, and I owed money for the rental. And I was like, I'm not sure how I'm going to pay this off my credit card because I don't have any money.
Right.
And I go to Charlotte, set up, and I meet so many people, have this awesome networking experience. And then I also make $600 within the space of like, a few hours.
That's what's up. See, if you was here in the studio, I would be giving you a high five. Cause that's cool.
Boom.
That's a big risk to take and a good payoff to take as well.
Exactly. And so as I was driving home, I was like, okay, God, like All right, so what you trying to say, that I could live like this or something like that? And so ever since then, it's just been me growing from that, and it's had its highs and its lows. Like, I've had time periods where like I won't sell anything, but like
Right.
a couple of months ago, I sold two paintings back to back, like literally right after I painted them, posted them on Instagram, sold them for a couple $100
Like
back to
bam,
back.
bam.
Yeah, seriously. So it's a really interesting journey. And I've moved from just expressing in visual art, but allowing the people who follow me on social media to see my side of, like dancing and movement, and then also with a little bit of videography. And I've shared some of my poetry, but I plan on doing that more. And then, a little bit of my personality. I post the, I talk to the people, and I love having discussions on social issues that are going on. And I think I'm rambling, but yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, well, it's you this time and not me. So I'm pretty sure my listeners is happy to hear someone else rambling other than me. So it's okay.
Okay.
It's definitely okay. So all right, with that though, we will go take a short commercial break and be right back.
All
Are you in
right.
the know? Do you want to know the latest happenings, where to go? In today's world, it's all about encounters, learning, growing, living. It's time to do more than just exist. It's time to have an encounter. Life-changing, mind-blowing, impactful, beneficial encounters. And it's all right here at your fingertips. Encounter the magazine. Have you had an encounter today? www.encounterthemagazine.com, www.facebook.com/encounterme2, encounterme2@gmail.com. That's encounterme2@gmail.com. Encounter the magazine. We are back. I'm Holiday. I'm here with, say your name again.
More almost
See? I could say it. I'm just not gonna say it tonight because I didn't do
say.
my vowels and stuff, all my vocal exercises I need to do before I started podcast. I didn't get to do that, so it's a lot of syllables in there I'm gonna mess up. So I was just like, you know what? I just let her say her name. All right. So one thing we didn't cover that we need to cover is you do plan events. So before people plan events, they usually go to an event or two just to check out what the future competition is going to be or whatever like that. So explain to me like how your first, when you knew that you wanted to plan events, how that first one went when you went to go check out an event, what you started looking forward to do.
To be honest, I don't think I went like really actively like, oh, I'm gonna have an event, so let me go look at some other people's events.
What?
I grew up in church, so like I always was around church stuff. I'm not even sure how much that counts. So when I had my first event, I had no experience having events. I had
You
no
just jumped in
idea
there.
what I was. I really did. Like I didn't. I had an idea of what I wanted to do, what I wanted to accomplish, and how I wanted it to affect the people that were there. And then I just started with that. And I think my first event was in 2019, my freshman year of college.
It was in 2019, so it was like a couple of weeks
Oh
ago.
wait, that doesn't make any sense. I'm so tired. Okay, 2000, it was when I was 19. Okay, that's better.
When you were 19,
When
okay.
I,
So
not
that is
2019.
and just to let everybody know that's listening, we're recording this at 9 o'clock at night. So it's already late for most people, but when people grind, they grind. She had a lot of stuff that she had to do. I got a lot of stuff that I do. So, and then see, you hear the stuff in the background over there. She got a lot of stuff she's doing. And this is the time that we was able to get up. So so you just jumped into it and you was like, I'm gonna do this event. So tell me, as far as when you did your event, when your first event was over, what did you learn as far as your do's and your do's and your don'ts?
I think the really interesting thing about So my first event was a Black History Month event, and I decided to have it because I felt like there was a huge need for more Black education.
Still is.
Well, more education, still is, yeah. More education on Black history, but not like just the regular, oh, Martin Luther King and Harriet Tubman and we were enslaved, but also taking that and looking at it not just from like the, oh, we struggled for like so many years and we're still struggling and we were slaves, but taking that context and going even deeper to African-American history, but even deeper to African history, looking at our roots and finding pride and all of that stuff. So I've been doing that. I've been hosting Black History Month programs annually for the last 5 years. This year was my fifth one. And so I would say in regards to... Yeah, okay.
I do want to say this real quick. When mm-hmm. Anytime someone mentioned Harriet Tubman, I always want to say that she deserved as much credit she get for what she did with the Underground Railroad. She's done so mm-hmm. much more.
As
an undercover agent, and she her whole life she was like an icon. Like anybody, a male, female, Black, white, anybody should aspire to be
exactly
as awesome as she was in life. I'm sorry, continue.
No, but you're right, because there's so much Black history that hasn't been uncovered. Like even looking at these people that we hear regularly and we hear the same stories over and over, but these stories that we don't hear, that's the kind of stuff that I try to put forward in my Black History Month programs. And then also like the social idea, like this, you know, we're in Charleston.
Yeah.
And it's a place of a lot of racial tension, just flat out, you know, that's what's going on here. So I try to present the idea of unity through understanding. I invite everyone to come and be a part of it. Like I purposefully invite a mix of cultures, and I don't like using the word race because I believe our differences is culture and not race, but race is to participate because I believe Black history is something that can be shared by everyone, and mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be appropriated. It could be appreciated. And I think everyone can participate. And through, you know, participation and learning and education and understanding, we can be more unified as a people in the city of Charleston. But that's just kind of like that. But back to your question, because I'm just going somewhere.
No, that's cool, because guess what? That all of that is exactly what this podcast is about, too. So.
Okay, cool. That's the ideas that I try to push forward in my Black History Month program, but like that's not what happened the first one. The first one I was like, this is what we need. And plus I went to Charleston Southern and I was like, we need a Black History Month program, but we need it to be done differently. So they had some stuff on campus, but I was like, I looked at it and I was like, but it needs to be done differently. So
it was
my
all
first one, I invited.
Up, right? That's the way I say it. I'm sorry, but yeah, I went to CSU for a semester. But so I remember.
It didn't have that much seasoning, so
yeah.
That's how I'm gonna say it.
And I'm gonna go call it mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise, not much seasoning, you know, hot sauce. So I invited a lot. I got, and the funny thing is I got the college students involved.
Right.
As the years progressed, like I would get more college students involved, and of course Greek soror, like the traditional D9, because historically rooted in Black history. So mm-hmm. I would get them involved, and it just always like, now it's the point where people look for me to do this. Like they're waiting on me to do it. And then they're waiting to be a part of it. This year I've had people say, do you have a list so that next year I can be a part and help out with this? Someone was even like, someone told me that next year I'm going to bring my friends because Alex will make you proud to be Black. And as crazy as I get every year when I plan this, and I get crazy, that phrase and that statement just reminded me of like why I do this every year.
Yeah.
To make people, and that just encompasses the whole thing. Make people be proud to be Black. Make people be proud to be a part of the culture that, you know, be a part of the culture, their skin, the way they look, the way their hair grows out of their scalp, the way their body falls on, you know, the way they're shaped, all of those things. But last year,
mm-hmm.
I hosted it at Charleston Southern University in their like their performance hall auditorium, their chapel, in their chapel. And like I had so many different resources to use, and I also used their Christian Leadership Building. So I made a 2-part event where there was a miniature expo at the beginning of the day, and then the main program was later on in the day. And I had the football team, I had different clubs on campus. I got to utilize, like, you know, people were helping with parking. I had vendors. It was so big last year. And then this year, I think it was just as good. So, you know, the very first one, I started in my church that I went to, New Victory Temple.
Yeah.
And when I wanted to have it, I went to my youth leader and I was like, well, I want to have a Black History Month program. And she was like, okay, we'll go talk to the pastor. And I asked the pastor and he was like, go ahead. And basically my whole church, and every year they've been involved, but my whole church was a part of it. And like, I'm not going to say that I was running the church, but I had like everything at my disposal, basically.
You was running the church.
You weren't
running the church. You was running the program, which was blessed by the pastor for the church.
Yeah.
So
in the church. So
look at that. You got all the big words. I got planning.
But yeah, so it was, that first one was small, then the next one was, then the one the next year was in my church. Then the third one, I rented out a venue and like I put at least, I think, $2,000 of my own dollars into that event. And then, of course, people from my church donated and put in their own money. And my mom put in her own money. And the thing about this event, as mm-hmm. much money as I put into it each year, I don't charge for entry. And people have been telling me, oh, you need to charge. Oh, you should charge for something like that. And, I mean, ever since the beginning, I've always wanted it to be free because I wanted it to be easily attainable
mm-hmm.
for children, youth, and everybody in the community. I'm sorry about that noise. I really don't know where it's coming from.
It's okay.
But I wanted it to be, I wanted it to be, you know, easily, I just want it to be easy access.
Right, I understand.
You know, I didn't want money to be a problem. I'm providing you an opportunity to see a different perspective from a different group of people,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want that to be an excuse. Like, I want this to be a thing eventually that school will bring busloads of kids to
okay.
to come and be a part of RC. So I don't want that to ever be a barrier. And I don't know, maybe one day I will have to look into it because it's expensive.
Do you have a donation bucket there?
I had, so this year I did a
Patreon. What's it, Patreon or GoFundMe?
It was GoFundMe. I did a GoFundMe this year. And then I also linked it to my website. So there's a page on my website that lists, like, you know, the whole outline and everything in the program and the theme and the meeting and all that and mm-hmm. motivation. And it has, like, a donate now button. And there was also, like, a little collection basket for donations, too. But, you know, the donations didn't, you know, granted that maybe I should have started like a year in advance, but like I said, I'm still learning.
Yeah, you should be collecting donations now for next year.
Exactly.
I got some ideas for you. We'll talk offline. I know how to help you.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, so it's just, you know, I don't have like a background. I mean, I guess this is my background now because my graphic design professor, she was like, you could add this to your resume. And I was like, I had no idea. But she was like, yeah,
yes.
Put it on your resume. So it's on there now. So that's, I've grown, you know, each year I learn something new because there's so many different moving parts. I like to, and then each year there's a different theme, and how you spoke earlier about me being able to create a mood,
right,
or control how I want people to feel at a certain time. I do that with my Black History Month program.
Mm-hmm.
And so I take that visual aspect and I just convert it into a production aspect. And I organize each act or each performance or each, you know, visual aid, video, song, presentation or whatever
Right.
into, I funnel it into the direction I want you to feel at a certain moment or time. So, you know, and I feel as if I've been pretty successful at that because my feedback has been pretty good. Like, oh, I felt this and you made me feel this. Well, not me, because it's the performers. It's the people who participated. I always perform in it as well because I love to dance. So last year I danced in it like 3 times, but this year I only danced in it twice. So
I saw it on What's Going On in Charleston. I think it was highlights there, or the flyer there. But I saw the highlights too. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, What's Going On in Charleston? They're so great about posting things that, of course, you know what's going on in Charleston. But I just really, even from the beginning, like before, like I even like had a lot of followers and I was like posting my little paint parties, they were reposting my stuff. So I don't know who runs it, but thank you.
Yeah, they don't even know I exist though. I was like, huh. I don't try right now though. So, but. But yeah, you know what? We have more questions.
Oh, okay.
What makes you tick?
Things that I'm passionate about. I would say that's what really motivates me. You know, I can work on things that I'm passionate about and I'll forget to eat or like, you know, go to the bathroom, or I'll stay up late at night working on something that I'm passionate about. And some of those things are, of course, children, women and the empowerment of women, and Black people.
We have that in common. We have all three of those in common. Like, I love children until I start having them. And then, but I've always liked the empowerment of women. Like, I have 4 daughters now. And one of the things that used to disturb me, like, they used to go to this one place, and at that one place they were bunch of white people. And I have nothing against white people. I have nothing against white
people. But representation is important. Representation is important.
When my daughter's coming home asking me if she can have hair like mine, at first I'm thinking, oh, she wants locks. She wants that straight up African blah 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 blah. And then come to find out, it was that she didn't like her curly Afro hair, and she wanted long locks of hair like her white friends. And that was bothering her. So I took out, well, she's a very artistic little girl too. Like, she started dancing before she started walking. She would stand up and move around, and she knew. No one ever taught her how to praise dance, but she heard gospel music, she would praise dance. She hear hip-hop music, she would try to drop it. And, like, we had to stop playing hip-hop music because I was like, I don't know where she getting that from. So I started letting her watch dancers dance, like actual dancers dance. And she's very big on dancing now. We just signed up to a dance class.
Awesome. Natural dancer.
Yeah, she likes to act. I always tell people when she's at school, she does certain things, and I'm like, she's acting, but she's acting very good right now. So I know sometimes I look like a bad parent at her new daycare. So, but I'll be like, she's acting. Believe me, guys, she's just acting. She's just doing very good at acting right now. As soon as I turn this corner, she'll be back up doing what she was doing. Okay, guys? And then I walk out. But it was something... Because her teacher's a dark-skinned natural person. And just to be able for her to see that actually changed her whole perspective. She now likes her hair and she likes her skin and all that other stuff. So at 4, that's a lot for for a girl to learn at 4. So,
yeah.
But
it's
important.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is important. And that's the thing. Children... learn these things without knowing that they're learning them. And that, so the story you told me about your daughter just now, one of my inspirations for my artwork and what I paint, which is mostly Black women, is my little sister Alyssa. Mm-hmm. So when she was younger, I used to teach Sunday school, and we were talking about the Bible, and she was like, I believe, like maybe 6 or 7, and she said, Drea, are there any Black people in the Bible? And I almost fell over because Everybody in the Bible had color. You
Yeah.
have people as dark as, you know, as night in the Bible, up to olive skin tone. But most definitely, you're not going to have white people in the Bible.
But they don't
But when
teach
you
you that.
look at, yeah, but when you look at the children from a child's perspective, when you look at all the illustrations and the books that they give you about Bible stories and things like that, most of it white people, and that doesn't, I mean, you know, like, that doesn't make any sense, because just in that area in the Mediterranean, you don't have, or in Africa and the Mediterranean, where a lot of these stories take place, you have people of color. So that was one thing, and that was another reason, like, I need to have this Black History Month program. And
yeah.
I'm going to paint beautiful Black women, because young, you know, little brown girls, they need, not just little brown girls, but children need to have, you know, see identity. They need to feel represented in order to feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
In another instance, my sister, when she was in elementary school, and then this was around when she was the same age. And so you've seen my hair. I usually wear like an afro. My hair is curly and it's big. And my little sister's hair is like that, except hers is a bit more finer than mine. And it's long, like all the way down her back.
Oh.
And yeah, and it, but it's like the same curl, but it's just all, like if I pulled it down, it would touch like, you know, the bottom of her back. And she was going to school, and she said the same thing your daughter said. She came to me and she was like, Drea, I want, and she calls me Drea. That's my nickname with my family. She said, Drea, I want my hair straight like the other girls at my school. And I knew there was a lot of, you know, white children at her school. And I was like, and so I had to sit down and explain to her, but you know, your hair is beautiful the way it is. You don't have to change it for it to be beautiful. And that was what she thought that she had to do to be pretty. And so what I'm trying to do with my artwork is combat these, you know, combat European standards of beauty and create more realistic standards of beauty, because especially for young African-American girls, because me as a young Black girl, I went through these things too. I used to wear my hair straight all the time. Middle school, well, actually elementary, up to my freshman year of college, and that's when I went natural. But just like that representation of dark-skinned women, or, you know, thick women, or brown-skinned women, and afros, and curly hair, short hair, long hair, but just making these things, normalizing them so that the standard of beauty is more realistic.
Right. I noticed that as well. You, I was about to say it, and you just said it at the tail end. Shapes. You don't only draw thin shapes for women. You draw all sizes. So, and that's why that was one of the things I noticed as well. So, beauty is in a lot of different standards. It doesn't have to be a barber style. Pale skin, blonde hair, high heels. So, but yeah, that's why I was noticing.
Thank you.
So we just went through what makes you tick, which is basically you in different versions of you. what discourages you? You know what? I'm going to give you some time to think about that, because we have to take another commercial.
Okay.
We'll be right back, guys.
What's up? It's Heavy D. Every podcast, we want to come to you with topics that you want to hear about. But that's just it. We don't know what you want to hear about unless you let us know. On Facebook at DistractNet, on Twitter at Distract_net, on our website www.distractionnetwork.com, or email us at thedistractionnetwork@gmail.com.
And we are back. Say your name again.
More
OMSA. See, I said it right this time. And so when we left off, we were talking about, I was asking you what discourages you. You care to answer that question now?
Yes,
it's the hard hitting questions we be asking on discussions, homie.
Yeah. I guess I feel the most. What discourages me?
Whew. Is it bad Chinese chicken?
No.
Is it when you get a Whopper and the inside is still red?
Oh, no, that just makes me mad.
What about, did you hear about the chicken coop 3 days ago that got set on fire? And they forgot to throw grease on the chicken coop to fry the chicken while they was frying naturally. They was naturally frying.
Right.
And they didn't bread the chicken to nothing before the coop caught on fire.
I'm mad that you said that like the hoop. You said that so serious the whole way through. I would say, okay. So I would say something that discourages me is a stifling environment. I would say that, but
elaborate, please.
Okay. I like to move around. I don't like to be confined to like one thing.
So you couldn't do jail.
Or I wouldn't be able to do jail. It wouldn't be the best for me. Yeah. Or be held down, I guess. So. I mean, but in instances where I've felt stifled, I've always looked for different ways to have a voice. Other things that are discouraging, like discourage me, I guess things that I have, like I know that are like my weaknesses. So pretty much like math. I had like this whole like, you know, I felt really, not depressed, but I was really, I didn't have a lot of confidence.
Right.
And it was stemming from like math and some school stuff. So, you know, I know I'm intelligent, I know I'm capable, but why is it not translating through this? And so that was really discouraging. There was a period when I was in college and because of school, and I think because I had my hand in so many different things too that didn't help the situation, but I got discouraged in school for a second, and I was like, well, am I supposed to be here? Should I be doing this? And you know, they say that I need this for a career, but you know, I'm not really seeing it right now. So
right.
I think a lot of college kids kind of go through that in school. Like, yeah. I don't want to do this anymore, and you know.
Tell me.
So, I mean, those are some instances.
Oh, I understand. Ooh,
and.
Ooh.
I got another one.
Okay, let me see if this is what I think you will say. Go.
Oh, okay. Well, then later tell me what you think I was going to say. But, like, when I'm not making any sales on any paintings, or when I have an event and nobody comes.
Ooh, has that happened to you?
It has.
You has
so
had.
I would say.
Uh-huh. Let's say this. Has it happened to you in the past year?
Yeah. So what it was I had, and it was two specific events, and it was around, and the time of year is important.
Right.
Because I'm learning that there's different times of year that
it's
slower for me, and then my business builds back up. So it's like a roller coaster. I'm doing like a little wave with my hand right now.
Right. I see it.
Yeah. It's really good. So I think it was around the summer. No, it couldn't have been the summer. It was warm. It was warm. So I think it was either autumn.
You're talking about warm in South Carolina, so it could be any month. Except for January and February.
Right. Well, I tried to collaborate with Tropical Smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the reason I had to cancel it is because the venue owner, he wanted more ticket sales, but I felt like we had enough ticket sales to have the event and then build off of that and have another event. So maybe that's not the best example. But there was one where I tried to have a paint party. I sold one ticket. One, and then I ended up having to cancel it because I only sold one ticket. And yeah, like, what? So I canceled that one. And then I believe I had another event, and it was another paint party I was trying to do with ticket sales, and I didn't sell any. So I ended up canceling that one as well. Yep.
Okay. God.
Mm-hmm. So
as much as I know about paint parties right here, people, especially like professional, like women, professional women that do what I do, they like to go out there, especially if they is painting the wine. They be like, let me go get drunk and paint this, whatever. So, but
and that's the thing, because I've had plenty of successful paint parties, and I've had plenty of successful events, and so I was like baffled that I wasn't making any sales on the tickets for those two events. So the first event was, it was just a paint party, and I think it was the time that I chose to do it at. You know what? I think it was like around, like when the holidays were getting ready to start up, like during the holiday time.
Right.
And I'm thinking that people already, like, maybe I should have promoted it a different way or earlier or partnered with somebody, because obviously people were putting their money into other things.
Yeah, Christmas.
And it was looking like, you know, yeah, turkeys. Christmas, Thanksgiving, turkey. Yeah, so that wasn't, I know now, like, that's not the best time to do that the way I did it last year.
Yeah.
And then the second one that I ended up having to cancel was a Polar Express paint party, and I was trying to do that with the daycare, and I was doing a lot of promotion because I was working. Yeah, I was working at a daycare, and I did my best to let like a lot of the parents there know that, hey, I do paint parties, and you know, and then kids, I have a direct access to this demographic, parents right. and then kids. So Polar Express hot chocolate paint party, blah blah blah, and I was partnering with a business downtown Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. This was around like Christmas time, and it just didn't happen. No one ended up, you know. And we were promoting on two different. So I was promoting to my networking, you know, my networking capabilities, right. And then they were promoting, and they had access to like Charleston's, you know, news coverage, media. They were sending out, you know, e-blasts to everybody, and so I think it was just the time of the year. I think it was just the time of the year.
Yeah, that happens.
Wasn't the best choice.
The good thing is you have, even though you're having all the success right now in promoting and throwing these shows, building your portfolio and your profile. I said portfolio like a wrong. Building it. You're building your portfolio and your profile. You're still having dips where we'll call it learning moments that you're like, okay, this is what I did wrong, so I'm gonna do it this way next time. So it's good that that happens to you now, because it, like, in my background, listeners, I promise I keep it short, because I talk about it, I've talked about it about 5-6 times now, but when I was 16-17, I used to perform. I used to go, especially when I turned 17, I used to go down to Augusta. I used to perform with bigger names. And then I'd come back and just be a regular person at school and try to keep it as low as possible, what I did. And then I just decided to blow it out on a talent show one day. So we had you remember Showtime at the Apollo?
Mm-hmm.
A Showtime at the Apollo theme type talent show. And it seems like every time I stepped on stage, something wrong happened. I got booed 2 times in a row. So
That
was basically, I had like a full 2 years before anything went wrong. I made up my mind then I would never get booed off stage again. So, and it never happened. I never got booed off stage again. But that was basically the one thing that I always look back to make sure it never happened to me again. So it's good that you're having these learning moments now. So It gets better when you get older.
I appreciate that.
Anytime. High five. Pow.
Boom.
All right, so plug yourself. Tell all the listeners where they can find you.
All right. Hey, listeners. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I don't have a Twitter because, like, just don't feel fancy enough for it, but maybe eventually one day.
I'll be cheating. I use Twitter as like a, I use Twitter like most people use text.
Really?
Yeah, I sit there and I talk directly to whoever I want to talk to. A lot of the times they pick it up and they'll respond back to me or they'll DM me or something like that. But I speak directly to people like a text on Twitter. But that's because when I used to do a lot of music and stuff. So my Twitter now is revamped, and I basically deleted and started over. But when I used to do music and everything, I used to use Twitter. I used to give people my Twitter handle instead of my phone number because I didn't want people using my phone. So, but that's how I started using Twitter in the beginning. That's different. Keep plugging yourself. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Oh, yeah. And my website, where you can find everything about me. But I do update my Instagram, like all my story and everything daily. So that is Moroa Mose on Instagram. It's at MoroWaMosai. And that is Instagram, my website, my email, and Facebook is Moroa Space Mose, and I'll get you to my artist page, and basically everything on Instagram is on my Facebook too, along with some other things like events and stuff. You can actually join events and get invited and say you're going and stuff like that. But
excellent.
I think I said everything, right?
I think so. I'm not sure though. They're your plugs. So if she missed anything or everything that she gave you now will be in the links on iTunes or Google Play, Spotify, wherever you're listening to it at. Also, if you go to the webpage, which is www.distractionnetwork.com, all of her links will be in there. On Distraction Network, you can also find my links to my Twitter page. My Instagram is still up there, but I have to take it down because I'm not going to let you in my Instagram, guys. It's a private page for a reason. You can follow me on Twitter though. That's Holiday 4000. And I said 4000 this time instead of 4000 because Marosa been over here saying all her words properly, so I guess I should say 4000 instead of 4000. So anything else if you want to listen? D and Dre wasn't here today because we had a special guest. But if you want to hit them up, they are also on the webpage, okay? Everybody, take care. Be safe. Holla.
I'm focused on that finish line. Developing a strong mind. Here's a goal. They stop making my kind. Yeah, I lose sleep, but it's all right because I'm on the grind.